how to deal with this, usually. But they're getting afraid, they're getting scared, and Jesus, he's probably exhausted. He has been healing people, he has people around all the time. He's just asleep, he's exhausted. But the disciples go to him, and they say, verse 37, Mark 4:37, there was a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up, and Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Again, this is fishermen. They know what's going on when it comes to boat and water. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Hush, be still. And the wind died down, and he became perfectly calm. And he said to them, Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Luke 8 says, Where is your faith? Verse 41, they became very much afraid and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So we have this great miracle that Jesus is doing. He's been doing miracles on objects. Remember John 2, water into wine. He's been healing people. But this is against the forces of nature. This is greater than the apostles have seen so far. Maybe getting used to as well. Oh yeah, Jesus can do all these things. But this is new to them too, as far as we know. And so we have Jesus getting up and just quieting the storm in a moment. And there is nothing. And then he turns to the disciples and says, Do you still have no faith? Or where is your faith? And the disciples are afraid of the storm, and then everything comes down, and now they're afraid because they don't understand, who is this man? There's a connection there. Faith is closely related to knowing who God is. You see the connection? They don't know. They don't realize who Jesus is. That's why they're lacking faith. That's what faith is about. It's about knowing God. It's about knowing what He can do. It's about knowing that He is there. And He can do anything at any point. And we can go to Him. That's what faith is about. It's about knowing who God is. That's what faith is about. We cannot have faith in the word of God if we do not have faith in God. You know, we use the word of God to get to know God, but ultimately our faith is in God, and our faith in the word of God is there because of the faith that we have in God. Yet it's not God through His word allows us to develop faith in Him. The more you know somebody, you know that we apply this process all the time. If we were to spend some time talking with each other, we probably get to know each other, and we probably get to trust each other. So when you hear me say something, you probably know that I'm going to do that thing or not, because you either trust what I said or not. Try a different example. Lord willing, 4 weeks from right now, my wife and I will be flying on one of these planes to go to visit my family in South Alabama, where I'm really from. I'm just kidding. I guess by now you can tell I'm from South Alabama, right? But anyway, you know, I really like airplanes. They're very neat machines. You get on the airplane, and a few hours later you get off the plane, and you're on the other side of the world. Everything is completely different. New language, new landscape, new culture, new laws. That's what is neat about an airplane. And you get on the plane trusting that the plane will get you there, right? If it says London, well, I trust that if I board that flight, I will get to London. You know, ultimately, my faith is not in the aluminum of the fuselage. My faith is not in the tire of the or on the blades of the engine or on the cloth of the seat. My faith is on those who designed the plane, that did it according to specifications. On those who build the plane, they build it the way they were supposed to. On those who fly the plane, they know what's going on. On those who put fuel in the plane for that day, that they put enough for me to get there. That fuselage one day is going to be Coke cans. It's just aluminum. But the people behind it, that's who I trust that they did their job to get me there safely. Same thing with God. I trust the person behind the Word of God. I trust God directly. And that's why I trust His Word. That's why I have faith in Him. because of the relationship that I have with God, then I trust His Word. So my faith in the Word of God exists because of my faith in God. It's about the relationship. It's because I know who God is. I know God. That's why I have faith in Him. And again, I get to know God through His Word. And I develop even more faith in His Word because I develop even more faith in Him. You know, Abraham, in James chapter 2, a lot of the passages for these lessons will come from the book of James, where the theme is drawn from. But James chapter 2 talks about Abraham. And it says in that verse, in verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. He didn't know facts about God. He didn't believe about God. He believed God. It was between Abraham and God directly. Abraham believed the person behind the commandments. Why do you think Abraham got up and packed everything and just left, not knowing where he was going? That's just crazy. Unless you believe the person who told you to do it. That's why he did it. Because he believed God. He had faith in God. He knew God. So faith is about knowing God so we can trust Him. We obey God's word because of the Holy God that's behind it. That's what we have been saying. Because of who God is. Because of who God is. That's why we believe His word. Because we know that God is trustworthy. Because we know that God is holy. Because we know that God loves us. That's why we believe His word. That's why we have faith in His word. Because it has come to pass every time. Because of who God is. You know, if you look at the law of Moses, there's a lot of, do this and this and this, I am the Lord. Do this and this and this, I am the Lord. It sounds like when your parents told you, hey, clean your room. Why? Because I said so. That's why. It sounds like it. However, here, this I am the Lord is literally saying, God is saying, because of who I am. Because of the relationship you're going to have with me, that's why you're going to do this. Because you know me, because you know what I want, because you know what I expect. Because of who I am, says God. That's why. Let me open a brief parenthesis. And this is probably something that you encounter on a regular basis. An answer to questions and doubts about God do not help faith. Unanswered questions and doubts about God do not help faith. If I just come up with all sorts of questions and all sorts of doubts about why God does this, why God does that, and I don't seek an answer, that doesn't help my faith. And you know something? If you have a question about something I say or something I do, the fair thing to do is to come to me and ask me why. If you see a friend doing something or saying something, the fair thing to do is to go to them and ask them why. If you have questions about what God has done, why God does something this way or that way, the fair thing to do is to see why in God's Word. Don't ask your friend. Don't ask somebody that doesn't know anything about God. Ask somebody who can direct you to what God has said, why God has done it that way. Close parentheses. So questions about God are answered by God's Word. So we need to seek to understand the entire picture. Don't just get stuck on something. Seek to understand the whole thing and try to fit. It's like looking, you know, Picasso, those paintings that you have an eye looking one way, an eye looking the other way, and the nose is facing, and the mouth is up where the forehead is. You know, if I get stuck on why the mouth is where the forehead should be, I will not understand what is supposed to be that beautiful art that is worth millions and millions, apparently, by somebody that paints like a preschool kid. My opinion, I don't understand art, so But don't get stuck on that one detail. Look at the whole picture. Appreciate art. And don't listen to me, because I don't know anything about art. Ask somebody who knows about it. And the same thing, ask God if you have a question about God. So knowing God is necessary to faith. There's a connection. That's what faith is about. And prayer, obviously, is connected to faith as well. So as we ask, what is faith about? Let's ask, what is prayer about? What is prayer about? Well, prayer, you know, thanksgiving, praise to God. Those are the things that come up when we think about what we pray for. Well, we thank God for something. We praise God for something. However, the one thing that we pray the most is probably when we need stuff. Request to God. God, please do this for us. God, please do that for us. No, that's probably the one prayer that we pray the most. The prayer when we need something. And so we look at James 1:5 there, just close to where we were earlier. We are told to ask, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, says James, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You need wisdom? Ask God. However, let's make sure that we don't create in our minds a misconception of who God is when it comes to our prayers, when it comes to our requests. You know, sometimes we look at God as if he was right there, ready to give us all that we need as soon as we ask for it. Just like the blue guy behind here. You know, we don't pray to God enough to begin with. Imagine how much less we pray to him if he just, as soon as we ask, oh, here, have it, it's yours, you ask, here, it's done. How much less would we pray if we had everything we asked for right away? However, is there a chance that maybe one time we would ask for something that really is not good for us? And he would just give it to us right away? That would be a big problem. If we ask for something that's not good for us and he just gave it to us, that would be a problem. So let's not look at God like we would look at genie. And then, let's not look at God as if it was Santa Claus. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I've been good this year. I deserve the gift. I've been good. I've been a good Christian. I've done the right things. I deserve for God to answer my prayer. That's a concept hard to swallow, but the fact that we are good is just doing what we were created for. It's not really something that we force God to give us something back with. That's what we're supposed to do. Then God is not a vending machine either. You know, if I'm hungry, I go to the vending machine, I put in a dollar bill, I press the combination or whatever, I get the food that I want, and then I go with my food, and I forget about the vending machine until I need it again. God is not like that. I don't have a relationship with a vending machine, but I do have to have a relationship with God. I just use the vending machine when I need it. We don't treat God like that. So God is not like any of these. And we need to really be careful when we pray. And in general, in our relationship with God, that we should not treat him like any of these. God is under our service. So often we seem like we are telling God, God, you can do everything. Do this thing for me. Well, how about respecting who God is? Respecting our Heavenly Father. So prayer is about perspective, understanding who God is and respecting who God is. Now James 4 is basically there in the first three verses is talking about why we don't get what we ask for sometimes in prayer, because we are selfish, we ask for our pleasures. And then in verse 5, do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Little hints to how we should be in our relationship with God. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. When we get to know God, that's the only reaction we can have. We become humble because we understand who we are dealing with. And then we have that beautiful prayer in Daniel 9. And I'm glad I have an hour and 20 minutes tonight so we can read it all. What, you don't believe that we have an hour and 20 minutes? Okay, just kidding. I'll squeeze it in another 15 minutes. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. This is Daniel's prayer, and we're just reading a little bit of it to understand Daniel's perspective. I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. And we have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, and so on. See the perspective there? Great and awesome God, righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, to us open shame. You know, Daniel is not saying these things to God because God likes to hear it. Daniel is saying these things to God because he's saying, I know who you are, God. I have faith in you, and I realize what we have done. We are sinful and disobedient, and we deserve to be punished. Because you are a great and awesome God, and you are righteous. That's why. Prayer is about perspective. Prayer is also about relationship. Prayer is about relationship. You know, there is a few passages there where he talks basically about how often and how much Jesus would go out and pray. He would get up early while it was still dark. He would spend the whole night in prayer. Why do you think Jesus was spending so much time in prayer? Why do you think he was just making a point at different times of the day or the night to be in prayer? You know, sometimes with our puny little prayers that we pray, that's really not easy to understand. Why Jesus was doing all that. But it is because of the relationship that he had with his Father. That's why he would talk to him so much and so often. That's about the relationship that he has. And then we have that passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, well, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. And then in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, if you then being evil, talking to the parents of that generation, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? God is going to give you a lot of good spiritual things because he is your Father who is in heaven. It's about the relationship that you have with him, that he has with you. Just like your parents give you good things, the Heavenly Father is going to give you good things. So prayer is about relationship. And sometimes, just like any parent, things don't go as we would like. Like Paul asking God to remove that thorn in the flesh. Or even like Jesus in Luke chapter 22. Remember when he was in the garden praying? Luke chapter 22 in verse 42, Jesus is praying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, God could have said, okay, that's fine, you're being a good child, you're being obedient, I'm going to remove you from this situation. I'm going to take care of this some other way. However, verse 43, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Sometimes God is not going to remove the problem. However, He's going to provide help. He's going to provide assistance. He's going to say, I am here with you. I know you're suffering. And I'm here to help. However, you have to go through this. But I'm going to help you. And then prayer is about conforming our will to God's will. Again, not my will, but yours be done. No matter how God responds to our prayers, He's still our Heavenly Father. Let's not treat God as a vending machine. He is our Father. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says wait. He is still our Father. Alright, that was the introduction. So to make prayer effective, that's the whole lesson is starting now. So how do I use faith to make prayer effective? Well, pray in faith, knowing that God will give you what is good. See, we read in Matthew 7:11, but let's also turn to James chapter 1. And we read verse 5. We're going to read 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Ask God, however, know that God will give you what is good. See, you must ask in faith, verse 6, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea. You'll just be tossed around. You ask for one thing one day, another thing the next day. Ask in faith. And again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. But especially, there's this passage in James chapter 5, verse 16, the second part, where it says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You know, we said earlier that it's not because we are righteous people that we deserve something, or that God is going to answer our prayers. But you remember when you were a kid or younger, when you've just been bad all day, and your parents are not very happy with how you've been all day, and then at the end of the day, you go to your mom or dad, and you ask for something, and they have this flashback of all the day going through their mind, and they see in their mind all the things that you have done wrong that day, and they're not really ready to fulfill the request right at that point. The same thing with God. If we've been bad all day, let's not expect to go to God and ask for something and for God to say, sure, here it is. Ultimately, it's not the righteousness of the man that grants the request. Is the mercy of God through the relationship that we can have with Him. So pray in faith. Pray with perseverance. I remember that widow in Luke 8, and you don't need to turn there, but we're going to mention that, having faith that God can provide for our requests, for our needs, for what we ask. You remember that widow in Luke 8? You probably remember it by now. Remember that parable that Jesus tells about that widow that needs justice, and she goes to the wicked judge, and every day he's there, give me justice, do this for me. And he says, oh, I will do it, because she's exhausting me. Perseverance. You know something about perseverance? When you pray for something, how long do you pray for that thing? You know, sometimes we start praying for something, and then maybe we forget about it because we don't care about it as much anymore. Perseverance helps us understand what we really need. Perseverance helps us understand our priorities. Perseverance helps us understand that sometimes God is not there to just give us what we need right away. And then do your part. Do your part, having faith that God will do His part. You know, when I'm going to get on that plane from the picture earlier, I trust that I just have to sit in my seat. I don't have to fly the plane. hopefully. That'd be bad. But I trust that as long as I show up at the airport, as long as I get my boarding pass, as long as I go through security and get on that seat, I'm going to get where I'm planning to go. And sometimes we try to take the driver's seat with God. It's like, hey God, how about I do this? How about I take care of... I know better. I know what I need. Let me do this, God. I know. Again, He's a loving Father. He's going to give us what is good. But we have to ask. We have to seek. Sometimes we may ask. And when we ask, we got to buckle up. Because ask for more faith. James 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You ask for more faith? Well, expect trials. And trials are choices. Am I going to stick with God, or am I going to just fall away? Do your part. Get to know God more. And the last one, the more important, not my will, but yours, God. It is more about God than it is about me. Prayer, faith, everything is more about God's glory than it is about me. You know, many times we pray asking for ourselves, forgetting how what we're asking for may fit in God's plan. Again, Paul, please take away this thorn in the flesh. And eventually God says, my grace is sufficient. You can do whatever you're doing, Paul, even with this. And then Jesus, again, Jesus, this passage is so deep and we just don't think so much as much as we should about it. Luke 22, verse 42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You know, He was the Son of God. He could do it. Oh yeah, He was the Son of God. But Mark 14 and Matthew, He began to be distressed and troubled. Verse 44 of that passage there we just read, His sweat became like drops of blood. And then again in Mark and Matthew we see that His soul was deeply grieved to the point of death. Hebrews 5 verse 8, although He was a Son, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered. Philippians 2, 6 and 8, although He existed in the form of God, He emptied Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death. Oh sure, He was the Son of God. But it was more about God than it was about Him when He came to the cross. It was more about God than it was about Him when He came to this earth to begin with. He came to fulfill God's plan. He suffered all those things because it was more about God than it was about Himself. And so you want your prayer to be effective? Make it more about God. We all need to do that. We all need to be here for God's glory more than we are for our own glory. There's no more effective prayer than one done with the faith that God will ultimately carry out His will. Not my will, God, but yours. You know, it takes a lot of faith already to ask for something knowing that God will provide it. It takes a lot more faith, a lot stronger faith to pray knowing that God will probably say no, if He wants to. Probably say not now, if He thinks it's better that way. And we can either get upset at God, or we can have faith in Him. So I hope this lesson tonight has been helpful. I hope we'll remember what faith is about. And I hope we'll get to know God a little more every day so we can have stronger faith in Him every day. through His Word. My hope will make our prayer more effective through the ways we are seeing having faith in God, doing our part, and our part has to do with also getting to know Him, and ultimately allowing God to carry out His will as we try to fit in His plan more than God just fulfilling our request. Well, I really appreciate your attention, and I know you can now look forward to really good lessons. Thank you so much.